You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
What up, Angel fans? It's me. I'm back. Lucas Soto, your host of Locked On Angels today. I'm back. It's good to be back. Welcome to your Daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And it's great. I feel recharged. I feel re-energized. You know, the holidays. Happy New Year to everybody. I wanted that time off. Recharge these batteries. It's a grind, guys. It's a grind doing this podcast day in and day out. Let me tell you that. I hope you guys can at least sympathize with me a little bit there. But I'm back and I'm ready to go. We're rolling towards this upcoming spring training, which should be pretty interesting. There's some really interesting position battles that I foresee coming up. But yeah, we're back. I mean, quick updates on myself. I've been trying to get this new job. Been watching some football. Not a great season for my Broncos, let me tell you that. My gambling on college football went pretty well, though. I will say that. But it was great to hang out with some more family, some friends, you know, just the normal stuff that you do over the holiday. That's what I was doing, kind of taking a break from this. So I'm back. I appreciate those of you that kind of reached out and were like, hey, you know, where's the podcast been? Hey, we're here now. So probably go to two times a week up until spring training, and then we'll start banging them out once a day. That being said, let's jump right back into it. This episode, I want to talk about some big signings, some of the biggest signings we've had so far since I've been gone. So the two people that we're going to talk about today, Matt Harvey and Jonathan Lucroy. And I'll start with Jonathan Lucroy, because I think there's a lot more to say about the Matt Harvey deal than there is the Lucroy deal, so we'll talk about that after the break. So let's dive in, okay? Jonathan Lucroy, I feel like there was, and although I was gone, I was always connected with Twitter and the Twitterverse, and I knew what was going on the whole time, but Jonathan Lucroy, the signing, I feel like it was a little bit of mixed emotions, mixed reactions, right? So for those of you that, you know, haven't heard of him, kind of give you a background. He really made a name for himself with the Milwaukee Brewers, where he played 6.5-ish seasons while he was there. 2 All-Star Game appearances. He finished 4th in MVP voting in 2014 behind, can you guess who won the NL MVP that year? The correct answer? 3, 2, 1. Yell it. No. Clayton Kershaw. He won that. That year. Lucroy, if you remember, was a big target at the trade deadline in 2016, rightfully so. With the Brewers, he was a career 292 hitter. I'd call him an above average defender. But the crazy thing about Jonathan Lucroy, for how great of a catcher he was, I don't want to say that he has been necessarily in the last couple years, but he was never even the best catcher in that division, right? I don't know if you guys have heard of this little catcher named Yadier Molina, who plays for the St. Louis Cardinals, but, you know, the Brewers, in the same division as the Cardinals, dude couldn't even win the Gold Glove in that division if they had that, let alone an All-Star, you know, appearance. I think he got lucky with his 2 there, but this guy could have had an outstanding career if he kind of wasn't in that shadow of Yadier Molina. The NL also, while we're kind of on the topic of catchers right now, the NL, I feel like, is really loaded with really good catchers. Not a lot on the AL side. Interesting. You know, you got Posey, Molina. I don't know. Just coming up with names off the top of my head. But anyway, after Lucroy ran out of his time in Milwaukee, he's really bounced around a lot. So the Angels will be his 4th team in 4 years, including time with the Rangers, the Rockies, and the Oakland A's. So enough background on him, right? How are we going to know? How is he going to fit in the grand scheme of things, I think, is the thing we're all going to look at, right? Well, in my opinion, The price was right. Okay? 1 year, $3.3 million. That's not much. Okay? I think we're looking at basically a temporary plug for the season with the hopes of him being able to get back to that all-star form, which he has been able to. I would imagine he's going to be the Angels' number one catcher going into the spring. That contract also includes incentives based on the number of games he plays and, like, at-bats, I believe. So, a couple fun bonuses that are going to be interesting to watch going into that season. Here's my thing. Here's my Jonathan Lucroy thing. Okay? Last year, a lot of people were really high on Martin Maldonado. I was not. I was not one of those people. But what did Maldonado do for the Angels? He had about, what, 230, something like that? Pretty, like, honestly, he was mediocre behind the plate. I understand he won a Gold Glove 2 years ago, but I'm talking about last season. He was very mediocre behind the plate. He was actually one of the worst defensive catchers in the game. Okay? You bring in Lucroy, who last year hit 241. I think he had 50-something RBIs, like 5 home runs. Okay? And the catcher position isn't typically where you're going to get your offensive production for. But you've got to believe that we're bringing this guy in on 1 year, $3.3 million, and you're going to be upset if he hits 230 to 240 with 8 home runs and 50 RBIs? Absolutely not. I am not going to be upset about that. I think that is, quite honestly, a steal. Especially considering what I was hoping to do with the Angels catcher position was go out and get Yasmani Grandal, who I thought was probably going to get something around $10 million. I was way wrong about that. The Brewers signed him to 1 year, $18 million. Yasmani Grandal got paid. Whew, yeah. I thought Grandal was the best catcher on the market. I didn't think he was. I don't know if he's worth $18 million, though. My goodness. But, back to the Angels. I think this leaves us in a good spot. Okay? You're looking, going into the spring, you got Lucroy starting. I'd imagine Briseño's probably going to be the number two. Another catcher who's currently actually on the roster, I think the active roster, if you go on, like, Angels.com, go to their roster. His name is Kevin Smith. This guy interests me a lot just by kind of looking over some of his numbers and doing some, you know, underground research about this guy. Kevin Smith, okay? The Angels claimed him off waivers this offseason from the Chicago White Sox. Now, he hasn't played very much, okay? He's had 146 games over the last 3 seasons in Chicago. But over his 497 plate appearances, he has a career average of 281, 51 RBIs, 7 home runs. Again, the catcher position is not a spot where you get much offensive production. Kevin Smith's bringing some offensive production to the table in his little short stints with the Chicago White Sox. So, I don't think he's going to... He might not make the roster, to at least the Angels roster. I could see him going down to Salt Lake, and he's kind of that emergency guy if Lucroy gets hurt, Briseño gets hurt. Somebody goes down, you know, which, I mean, the Angels, no injuries, you know. So keep Kevin Smith on your radar. Kevin, and I will say this, he spells his name K-E-V-A-N. Ooh, that might be problematic. I'm going to say that. I don't know. Oh, man. Tough spelling of Kevin there. But overall, the Lucroy signing, if I'm going to grade it, probably give it like a B-. I don't really expect much out of him. Again, if he hits 250, handful of home runs, close to 60, 70 RBIs, I think we're ultimately getting a ton of bang for our buck. So, I don't know. Let me know what you guys think, because I know there's a lot of mixed reviews about the Lucroy thing. And I think it comes with, like, people are like, no, we need to go get more people and do all this stuff. I mean, realistically, like,
I think we're trying to save a little bit of money for Trout. And, oh, man. We'll talk about this all later. We'll talk about the Trout and money situation a little bit later. But, oh, man, after the break, we'll talk about Matt Harvey. Before we talk about Matt Harvey, though, this spring, you can follow your Angels out to Arizona for Cactus League action. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventures. I will contest incredible food out there in Arizona. It's the perfect destination for all baseball fans. They have 10 awesome stadiums, 15 MLB teams, all within 50 miles of each other in the greater Phoenix area. I honestly, personally love going out there that time of year. The players are super laid back. If you're all about getting the autographs and pictures, like it's the perfect time to go do all that. It's such a great experience. So plan your trip to Tempe Diablo Stadium this year by going to visitarizona.com/springtraining. I did this last year. Loved every single bit of it. I know for me, I'm looking at that March 14th date out in Arizona where the Angels play the Brewers. We've been talking about them a lot this episode, this Brewers. I'm going to get off the Brewers. But the Ducks also play out there in Phoenix against the Coyotes. Cool experience for Anaheim sports fans. I've done that the last couple of years where I go to Angel game during the day, Ducks game at night out there in Phoenix. I love it. I love it. So check out visitarizona.com/springtraining for more info on your next vacation. All right, Matt Harvey coming up next. Matt Harvey time. If you haven't heard of Matt Harvey, you're probably a casual baseball fan that started watching baseball in 2015, probably? 2016? Yeah. Most people have heard of Matt Harvey if you've been following baseball for a while. The dude at one point in his career was an absolute force. Like, the tip of the iceberg. I don't know. What are some other ways we can describe, like, how good Matt Harvey was in 2013. Like, oh my gosh. I watched every single one of his starts because the guy was just absolutely dominant. 2013, he was an all-star. Shocker. Finished fourth in Cy Young voting. That's unbelievable. He had a 2.27 ERA that year. Almost 200 strikeouts. Unfortunately, since that season, though, things have gone drastically downhill. Tommy John in 2014. So he missed all that season. 2015, he had a good year, but then really nothing to show for it. Sent to the minors last year by the Mets. Then the Reds eventually picked him up where he started 24 games, went 7-7, and had a 4.5 ERA, which honestly, it's not bad for how bad that Reds team was to go 7-7 with a 4.5 ERA is a little bit on him, but you know, besides the point, they go 7-7, not bad. But seriously, one of the toughest fall from graces I can remember in baseball that happened so fast. The turnaround was unbelievable. But let's look on the bright side. He's only 30 years old, so he's fairly youngish. He knows what it takes to win games and be a dominant pitcher in the bigs. 2-0 in the playoffs career, and was a part of that Mets team that lost in the World Series to the Royals, which, what a gross World Series that was. So, again, kind of knows what it takes to win games and when the pressure's on. He's still a .500 pitcher, even after everything that has happened. So, yeah, I mean, I want to look on the bright side with signing. We're adding another quote-unquote broken arm because he's already had Tommy John, which is awful considering we're really piecing together a rotation on fragile elbows. But, I mean, it is what it is. We're definitely not getting the Cy Young contender that he was at one point. But I'm going to be positive about Matt Harvey until I see a reason not to be positive. Because I'm a big believer in some people just need a change of scenery and they can really put it together to be a better player. You never know. Now, that being said, that I'm trying to be positive, the contract that we gave Matt Harvey is a little problematic, to say the least. 1 year, $11 million. And there's incentives in there that I think can get it to 13 million, because it's like 11 million and some change. Anyway, I'm a little skeptical about this, okay? Because I think that that's money that could have been better spent somewhere else this offseason. But what's done is done, right? What's done is done. Let's talk about this contract. At $11 million this year, here's a list of Angels he's making more money than this season. Okay? Cole Calhoun, Shohei Ohtani, Cam Bedrosian, Andrew Heaney, Tyler Skaggs, JC Ramirez, Gary Matthews Jr., Vernon Wells, Josh Hamilton. I'm just kidding. Those guys are actually off payroll, finally. But in all seriousness, I mean, he's making more money than all those people. So we kind of are expecting something. Because, I mean, at least just Cole and Shohei are two of our more valuable pieces, I would say. And the crazy thing, I mentioned Heaney, Skaggs, JC Ramirez. He's the highest paid pitcher in our entire organization, period. Which is wild. He's getting more money than Heaney, Skaggs, JC Ramirez, and Nick Tropiano, and I think Cam Bedrosian combined. Combined! That is unbelievable. I mean, if this was Matt Harvey that was the Cy Young contender, I mean, well, this would be a steal of a deal, but I don't know. I am questioning this. If you exclude the Trevor Cahill signing, which we will talk about in an upcoming episode, I mean, Matt Harvey combines to make all of the money on our pitching staff. That's a little weird. Especially going into this offseason, we were looking at starting pitchers and being like, we have to get starting pitching. That is the number one thing. I don't think that got fixed. And granted, I think the Angels probably were set up in a good spot to get some pitchers, and they offered pitchers. I think Nathan Eovaldi was a guy that they probably heavily went after. And you know what? We just lost. We lost those sweepstakes to those people. And so when they missed, you know, after number one, number two, number three, number four, they were like, all right, let's just start getting arms, essentially. So, and that's tough to swallow, I think. That is really tough to swallow. And I will say the offseason's not over, but how can we still supplement the rotation? Let's find these pieces. I mean, there's not much available. I will say one of the guys I wanted to get coming into the offseason, Clay Buchholz, he's still out there. He's still available. Other than him, you're looking at like Marco Estrada, Gio Gonzalez, dare I say it, Bartolo Colon. There's not much available. So does that mean a trade happens? A lot of people are going to probably be like, we've got some young pitching arms. Yeah, and everybody's going to talk about Griffin Canning. If you remember Patrick doing any minor league reports for us, he wouldn't stop talking about Griffin Canning. I don't know what to expect from him. I'm skeptical about the Griffin Canning experiment. I really wish we got to see him last year, but we didn't, so whatever. I don't know. I'm really, really, really skeptical about what we're going to do. While we're talking about pitching, by the way, let's mention, if anybody follow the Parker Bridwell saga that happened this offseason, the Angels DFA'd him, the Yankees picked him up, then the Yankees DFA'd him, then the Angels re-picked him up, and then the Angels just made a trade for a reliever from the Twins, and the Angels then DFA'd Parker Bridwell again. That's wild. That's really wild, considering literally 2 years ago, I remember looking at my friends and saying, man, Parker Bridwell's legit. That's so sad. But anyway, we got to keep an eye on this rotation. There's still a lot to be done. Is there a trade that could be worked out? Maybe. I don't know. I trust Billy. I'm a believer. I've talked about it. Coming up next, we'll close out the show.
All right. Well, it is good to be back. Let me tell you. I'm going to throw out another episode next week. So be ready for that. This is kind of my welcome back party, if you will. We will get back into, you know, all of our segments. Might change some segments around. If you have any segment ideas that you kind of want to throw in there for this next season, we'll go after that. Yeah, I'm ready to get the ball rolling, guys. So let's do it. Stay dry, because the weather is awful. Oh my gosh, so drive safe. Yeah, I think I'm excited. I'm excited for the season. I'm ready to get back. I'm glad to be back on the microphone. A lot of fun stuff coming our way. So I'm Lucas Sardo. You can find me at LucasSardo13 on Twitter. More importantly, follow our podcast Twitter page at Locked On Angels for all the updates regarding the show. If you have any other questions or comments, shoot us an email, lockedonangels@gmail.com. That's all I got for you guys today. Go Halos. Stay safe. Adios.